his top 50 MLB trade candidates yesterday towards the end of the show. And the Royals were linked to, I don't know, six different players. They only had one player listed as a trade candidate, as in trading away to another team, as in being sellers, or at least sellers in the extent that you would be willing to trade off one of your best pitchers to go and try to add to this year and maybe beyond, which is, I think, the key part here. Because at number seven on the list, or number six, excuse me, was Seth Lugo. And they put it as a 40% chance the Royals trade Seth Lugo. This was just Jeff Passan's list. And he talked about, obviously, how good Seth Lugo has been. It said Kansas City could opt to move him, especially if Cole Reagan's injured shoulder doesn't improve. We all know Seth Lugo has an opt-out, and everybody expects him to opt out because he's going to get a very nice deal somewhere. In the offseason, they list best fits as the Cubs, the Astros, the Blue Jays, the Padres, and the Dodgers. Let's just start there, and then we can get to the names where they have the Royals maybe trading. I think it's fairly simple. Seth Lugo, you probably know that he's not back next year. So if your team is out of it, and right now they're, what, three and a half back, and as we've said over and over, that determination in 2 or 3 weeks will be pretty simple. Are they 7 or 8 games out of a playoff spot, or are the Royals 1 or 2 out of a playoff spot? That sets itself up very easily. If you are out of it, then absolutely you have to trade him. You cannot get nothing for a quality pitcher at his level when you're trying to build and set yourself up for 2026. I mean, do you disagree? Is there a scenario where you can talk yourself into that doesn't involve them being right there outside of a playoff spot come deadline time that you would be fine with just holding on to Seth Lugo? That would be a bad move, in my opinion, as an organization to hold on to Lugo if you were around the deadline, eight games out of a playoff spot, and you held on to him. That would be a huge mistake.
It would be a huge mistake because it's going to be in high demand because somebody's going to want that in their rotation. What are these teams that's in this lump of teams, maybe the top five or top four. Mm-hmm. I told you there's going to be 2 or 3 teams that make the Seth Lugo type of moves if the Royals are in position to do that. You hope they're not, but if they're in position to do it, you got to get something for it. Because, again, everything stays the same. What are you going to do to make a change? That would be a change for it. But if you're not going to, we know he's not coming back, so you might as well do it if you're not in contention. In contention, no way.
Yeah, someone says, what if the nice big contract he gets is with us, could sign him? Well, you could do both, by the way. It's happened before in Major League Baseball history. You can be out of it, you can trade him, and if you really want him back and you can be competitive with your offer, you can trade the guy and sign him in the offseason. Who was it? Was it the Cardinals that had a... Was it like Jack Flaherty or somebody?
Guys just come right back.
I thought it was Jack Flaherty. Same scenario where you trade him and you still sign him back in the offseason. So it does not eliminate that scenario, but you have to ensure yourself that you get something for him if the team is out of it. They're not out of it despite how bad they're playing on June 25th, but they could be on July 10th and certainly could be by July 30th.
Not winning a game in June kind of makes things clear. Kind of start winning now. To go through a whole month and have a home win?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. So anyway, in this article, Lugo's the player mentioned traded away from Kansas City. Now, they had a few players linked with the Royals in terms of going and acquiring to bolster the offense. The number two player listed on this entire top 50 trade candidate list, number one was Alex Bregman of the Red Sox. He's currently hurt, if I'm not mistaken, but he was listed. 10% chance of him being traded. Duran there for the Red Sox, the outfielder, young outfielder, he's got a 25% chance being traded. They list the Royals with the Padres, the Braves, Cleveland, the Giants, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the New York Mets. Here's where I'm at on trading for anybody. If this team is going to actually go out and trade for a bat at any point, especially if they're out of it, it has to be somebody that has control beyond this year. Like Eugenio Suarez is mentioned. He's a rental. Marcel Ozuna.
Wait a minute, though. You can do rental. A rental and a future player, though. So you need more than one bat. We know that.
Sure.
So if it was rentals, you could do that.
If you told me that I could trade for, let's say, Suarez and Taylor Ward or Suarez and Duran, maybe. But I the rental thing, if they're making a trade and they're already 6 or 7 spots out, then I don't want a rental player. Now, if you tell me to make a trade in a week from now and they're 3 out or 4 out, then I would be okay with a rental. Obviously, I'm not giving up my number two prospect in the system for a rental, nor would they have to. I don't think you have to give up Blake Mitchell to get Eugenio Suarez, okay? That'd be crazy. No. But if I'm going to involve Blake Mitchell in a trade, then I better be getting, like, Duran at least has control through 2028. And I'm just using him as an example because he's pointed out here. I'm not saying that's the guy I want them 100% to go trade for, but I'm pretty steadfast on if I'm making a trade and I'm perceivably out of the playoff picture in 3 weeks, I do not want to be trading for rental guys. I want to be trading with guys to set me up for 2026 because I actually think they're in a decent spot for 2026.
Well, Taylor Ward, somebody like that with control through 2026, didn't have a great average, hovering around, what, 210? He's got 19 home runs. That would help. And you still have that extra year of control with them. So somebody like that, I'm a big fan of bringing in Suarez. I know that the average is not there, but the power's there. The clutch gene's
there.
So he
plays third, so then what do you do with second base and outfield?
That would have to be Michael.
Because Massey's about to come back from Omaha.
He's in rehab right now.
He had a nice night, by the way, down there.
It'd be moving Michael to the outfield.
So then what? So you would
you
have...
You just have to do things to...
So you would have Cags in right. You would have Garcia in center. Isbell, even though he's a number nine hitter, has been one of the better hitters. So then you have
his
Isbell play left.
Probably.
Or Garcia play left.
Either one. But it would be Michael Garcia going to the outfield. Yeah, that would immediately make your outfield better at that point. And Suarez, hey, he's fine at third base. And you get the power number there, but you have to find a way to get him on the field. It's also a guy that can spot some DH at times.
Yeah, they don't have a problem with trying to find it. I mean, they got the DH thing is, I mean, they've had that's not an issue. My thing still is just the idea, unless you're making the move like today while you're still only 3.5 back, I don't want them on July 15th, seven spots out, trading for Eugenio Suarez. No, absolutely not.
You just don't touch Bobby and you don't touch Cags. Everything else.
Oh, everything
fair
else
game.
Should everybody else you should be willing to negotiate on something if it improves your team for 2026 and beyond. But I'm very close if the team is out of it in a couple weeks that I don't want moves that are just going to benefit 2025. And I understand. I think Vern disagrees with me. We'll have Vern join me. He's like, based on them calling up Cags and the expectation of this year that he doesn't think they should be sellers. But I think you can thread the needle and be both, right? You can be a seller that helps you for both this year and beyond. That's your ideal scenario. Rental players are just that. So
it's what Detroit did, to be honest with you. That's why they're so good, because they held on to people. They didn't panic in situations because they knew they'd eventually build that team for the long haul like they've done.